Okay, colleagues, members of the public, welcome to this February 12th meeting of the Senate Committee on the Environment and Natural Resources. And we have two bills that we have scheduled to work today, and my intention is to work them both. You will notice that we did drop a couple of bills that we had scheduled for possible work session today, one being the clean fuels bill, and we were hoping that there would be in advance of today an agreement among the parties to find something that people could all come around. We could not do that. The governor has announced, you may have seen, he's going to hold a press conference tomorrow about clean fuels. I think we're all eager to see what he has to say. And I anticipate that we will have an information hearing on the subject of clean fuels, if not this session, probably during the May interim hearings, just so we can see what's being planned. The other bill that we had scheduled for today that for a work session was the Klamath Bill, Senate Bill 1512. And you may remember that that was a bill that had been drafted to help with those who were trying to reach agreement around the water rights disputes down in the Klamath. Turned out that that was not being helpful in the end, and the other real stimulus for it was we wanted to make sure that irrigators down there had some flexibility in the way that they would use their water during this what's likely to be a very bad drought summer, while we're waiting for the courts to take action. And there seems to be a very high likelihood that the governor is going to declare that region a drought region this summer, which will give people down there added tools to address the needs for this summer and probably next summer. So colleagues, be prepared in 2015 to revisit this issue. I think we're all much more educated around the issue, and we'll be able to deal with it in our sleep, and I look forward to that.
Unfortunately, yeah. We will be dealing with it in our sleep. Dreaming about it.
Okay. So with that, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 1512. 1511. I'm sorry, 1511. And 1511 is the bill that has to do with radon mitigation in schools. The goal is to try to make sure that schools that have radon dangers are identified and made safer for kids and teachers and other school personnel. And we have been working hard to come up with an approach to this that would take into consideration various concerns that were raised by committee members and others around unfunded mandates on schools and just some of the definitions involved in this. So what we have settled on is a -4 amendments, which you have before you. They were prepared and released this summer, this morning. And they do several things. And let me go through what they do. First of all, in the original bill, it actually set the trigger. If you look at Section 1 with me, it set the triggering danger level at 4 picocuries per liter, which is the current EPA level. But we want to anticipate that that could change. And if it does, rather than have to come back and do legislation, that the Oregon Health Authority would be able to you know, identify, this is the federal standard. Currently, this is the federal standard for the EPA. Will they be continue to be the appropriate entity? You know, we don't know. So this seems to make sense. We clarified, you know, which schools are come under this requirement, and it's publicly funded schools, and those are defined in C. It clarifies on page 2 which kinds of projects trigger this kind of analysis, testing. And, you know, one would be if there's a significant change to the HVAC system and, you know, the and significant, of course, means more than just changing a filter or whatever. It's, you know, maybe changing a boiler or doing something, you know, that is probably going to be in the $10,000 to $15,000 or above range. Or remodeling, renovation, or alteration that affects the building, and we ended up adopting the terminology, the building envelope or structural components, and that seems to really hit what we were looking at. That could involve seismic upgrades as well as, you know, significant tightening of the building. And the $50,000 level, again, colleagues, is the prevailing wage trigger that, you know, we use to identify a significant public project. The process that we intend here is that the testing would be done by the Oregon Health Authority if a school falls under this requirement. They're going to make these, do this construction or repair. And if the radon levels prove to show that the, you know, that the building has danger of radon, then the district would be required to mitigate for the radon. And then there would be a follow-up test to make sure that the problem has been alleviated and that is that. The bill also allows the Oregon Health Authority to use outside grants to help with the funding of this. The Oregon Health Authority currently is the recipient of an EPA grant that has allowed them to go around and do a lot of testing around the state. And that leads to you know, the final addition to this, that is, you know, what happens if a school has been tested within the last 5 years under that program or some other program, they don't need to retest. They would only need to test after they do their work, and then that would, you know, just to make sure that the change to the structure has not created a radon problem. So that in a nutshell is what these changes are. You know, the goal was to deal with the problem of oversight. You know, that was an issue that was raised, you know, who oversees this, and, you know, it would be the Oregon Health Authority, the question of, you know, the cost of testing, and I think that, you know, that this addresses all of those concerns, but I'd be happy to hear your reactions. Senator.
Mr. Chair, I certainly agree with the verbal explanation, but bracket 5 doesn't say what you said, so how are we going to fix that?
Yeah. So what bracket 5, subsection 5 on page 3 says, and this is not really what we intended it to say, and we're going to have to get this, get the intent on this clear and ideally get it fixed when it's in Ways and Means to accord with what I think the committee wants here. What this says is that it suggests that the school will do the testing and then will be reimbursed by the Oregon Health Authority. Our preference would be that the health authority, you know, let's say the health authority doesn't need to actually physically do the test. Maybe they provide the district with the test kits. School personnel can put them up. But the we're not envisioning a situation which the school district contracts with someone, some outside firm, to do the testing and then gets reimbursed, because I mean, that could be very expensive, and we don't want that expense.
I agree.
So thank you for, I wanted to clarify that.
So, but I'm not totally familiar with the process, and you're proposing that we adopt it with the language that we don't want, with the idea that we'll fix it in ways and means?
Yes.
Okay. This happens a lot, okay? And it's, as long as we have clear intent of the committee when it comes down, I think it might even end up in my committee, frankly. Because the health authority is involved. So what is the sense of what this committee wants for sure? My sense is the school district pays for it. The authority keeps track of it and sends it back as yea or nay, but they don't pay for it. Is that what this committee wants?
No. Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Hess.
My sort of test on supporting this, I appreciate you narrowing this, but my understanding was that schools would not pay for this.
Right.
And the health authority through a federal grant or somewhere else, but the burden would not be on supporting schools.
The testing would not pay.
The testing.
Right.
So that's...
The authority is to pay for it, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I'll go either way.
That's what...
That is.
And that's fine. If the language is the way you want, that's fine. We'll bring it down to ways and means. We'll get a physical on it.
But the
physical isn't massive. We can take care of it.
But the language isn't the way we want it yet.
Right. But I think the intent, are we all clear on the intent here? We want the health authority to be responsible for the testing. They may not necessarily physically drive, you know, to Pendleton and hang up the test kit, but they would provide them with the test kit.
Okay, let me ask the question differently. Is it you want the school district to ask the authority to come test a certain building? They do the test, and they pay for the test and report it back to the school district. Is that what your desire is?
Yes.
I just add one caveat to the senators. What I understand it is, if the previous positions of a significant remodel, that triggers OHU, not the ask of, if you don't have any construction program going on, they're not required to come out and test for you.
No, I'm saying that if OHA receives a request from a school for radar testing, OHA will go out and do the testing for them. Is that what the desire is? No.
Well, what I'm saying is there's a trigger that causes the asking. They won't just come out and, from what I understand, it's a construction that...
Yes, I understand that.
That's my point.
If
you're not constructing, you can't ask them
right.
to come out.
Okay, right. I'm sorry. Let me back the question up a little further. Under this bill, under the conditions of the bill, if a district says we need a test done because this bill requires a test, they'll ask the authority to come out. The authority does it, pays for it, and gives them the information back.
Yeah.
Okay. Brett, I know what the intent is. So when we change it down, the way we do it the way this committee wants it.
Yeah.
May I ask another question procedurally?
Yes. And Brett, you know, maybe can help us too.
Do we need to move this now we are on a real timeline, or can we get the language that we agree to before we move? We have to do it today. Or we want to do it today? Or
Chair Dunbar and committee members, we could request, I'm not sure how backed up Legislative Council is, but today's your last meeting to consider bills, of first chamber bills.
Okay. Yeah. And I would commit, if it comes to my committee, when we get the amendment, we'll bring it back here to the committee, and you can all weigh in on it to make sure that's what I understand what you want.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be sure we get the language right, so it's what this committee wants here. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just given this conversation, Mr. Chair, I would prefer then, if we are going to send this bill as amended, and it, because it's not in ship-shape condition, that we send it without recommendation.
Well, okay, we can address that. But, Brett, do you want to respond to the, you know, the question of OHA coming? Does it make sense to have OHA come at the district's request? What would work from your perspective?
Chair Dembro and members of the committee, my name is Brett Sherry. I work with the Oregon Health Authority in the radon program. The EPA recommendations for school testing don't require that the person doing the testing be certified or from the state agency. So it could work in one of two ways. Either the Oregon Health Authority could come out and actually place those test kits, or the Oregon Health Authority could actually send the test kits out to the school, actually have somebody from the school that's on the staff place the test kits and ship them off to the laboratory. So it doesn't take very much. It's literally just putting a small test kit into each classroom or each room that's in touch with the in ground level, basically, and send it off to the laboratory. So it's not a very complex system.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Can I ask Brett a question?
Sure, sure. Senator Olson.
I do have a question for you because, you know, radon levels, they fluctuate. Mm-hmm. And would one test in one room be an accurate determination of the radon in that room for a period?
The biggest fluctuation is between summer and winter, so there could be some variation if you're testing during summer months when heat is not running. The worst-case scenario is when the heat is running and the windows and doors are all sealed up nice and tight. That's going to give you typically your highest radon concentration. So it could vary.
So then a follow-up question. If a school was going to do this project and they're going to fall in the parameters that we're looking at, how many tests would you make to make certain that they do or don't have a problem?
So basically we follow the EPA guidelines, and they recommend that every classroom and every frequently occupied room that's in touch with the ground or over a crawl space be tested. So it's pretty much the entire school minus kitchens, bathrooms, that type of thing.
But you would only do one test and then take the results. Would you average it for the school, or would you take, like, classroom A has got this and classroom B has got this, et cetera? Or would you take several tests in classroom A just to verify that classroom A does have a problem?
There are specific guidelines on duplicate requirements. So there's duplicate tests. We have blanks as well, just to check the laboratory, making sure that they're working properly. So there's a certain percentage, it's basically 10% dupes. So there are duplicate tests in certain rooms, but that one test result is typically pretty accurate, and we can get a good gauge as to what the levels are in the school from one test in each room.
But see, then I'd ask a follow-up question. If they're typically accurate, they would be different in the wintertime than in the summertime. So it's predicated on when you took the test. If you took the test in the summertime, you'd say there's no problem at the school, and in the wintertime it could be extremely high. So how do we resolve that?
The levels you'd see, the fluctuation between winter and summer, again, winter months you'll see higher levels, but it doesn't usually fluctuate that much. The bigger factor is if the heat is running, basically the HVAC system is running, that's going to have a bigger effect. But if an area has the potential to have radon and it's coming into the school, if it's there, you're going to see it. Even if you were testing during warmer months, typically the kids aren't in the school in the summer anyway. But again, that heating system the heating season would be the bigger factor there. But it does give us an idea. So if the levels were elevated even during months when the heat was barely running, it would give us an idea that it may be an issue in the future, and we can do some long-term testing to gauge that.
Reagan, do you want to come up and thanks, Reagan.
Thank you. Chair Dembro, members of the committee, my name is Reagan Gray, and I'm representing SEIU and AFSCME's child care workers. And as the bill was originally drafted, we didn't have any issue with it, but in some of the changes that have been made and the way that child care is being defined has brought up a few little concerns. And specifically in the -4 amendments in line 19 and 20, where it says a building used for instructional programs receiving money through the Early Learning Division. We feel that could be a really broad definition. I believe the original bill said a licensed child care provider, there's a lot of monies that flow through the Early Learning Division. In addition, right now, child care money is flowing through there, but it used to flow through the Employment Department and it used to flow through DHS. And so we think that maybe going right to the statute that addresses, as I understand from the sponsor of the bill, Representative Kenny Geyer, that it really addresses the Head Starts and the child care centers, that would be more appropriate. So, and then also we don't really know what programs this is and how many we're actually going to affect. And I'll just personally, my daughter is in the early intervention program that receives money through the Early Learning Division. She receives 1 hour of instruction inside of an old school building, but would that end up falling under this? I just think we don't know exactly what programs we're talking about with the way that this was defined. So that's our concern, and we look forward to working on amendments in Ways and Means.
Okay. Beth, it was my understanding that we heard from the Education Department that actually preschool might not be covered in the amended version?
I think so, but I can try to seek some clarification from you on that.
Right. So I'm not sure that those schools would actually be covered under the way that the amendment was written. But we can certainly look at that.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, well, back to other discussion of the Dash 4s. Yes, Senator Hess.
Have we heard from the Oregon Health Authority?
Brett.
Besides Brett on the finances? Mr. Chair, since we're looking at these federal funds for the first time, how doable is, how available are they? Maybe Senator Bates.
Okay, Senator Bates.
The first thing would happen, we'll put a physical on this and see what the number looks like.
Right.
And then secondly, this would come under public health, and we could probably find the funds to the public health department or funnel them to them. Assuming this is not, you know, a $10 million deal. I mean, if it's a small amount of money, it's restricted by the bill, just for this, on the construction situations we're talking about, it shouldn't be that expensive. It looks to me like the authority has the expertise to do this. They've done it before. They're familiar with doing it. They know an efficient way of doing it. And maybe they test just in worst-case scenarios. You know, what's the worst time of year to test to get the worst look, because we don't want these kids exposed, especially young kids. So I think that's kind of an elegant way of doing it. But if it gets to be a huge amount of money, it could potentially die in Ways and Means. I mean, you need to know that. I'm not going to guarantee it's coming out if it's a huge amount of money. But the funds are there, and my expectation, it's low enough number that we can handle it inside the OHA budget.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, you know, my goal here was to try to come up with the program that would really be the best program we can have. If it turns out we can't afford it right now, then we can't afford it. But I think, you know, what I've heard is general agreement that it's best to have OHA, you know, for the professionals here, do the testing and, you know, be the oversight entity for it. As opposed to leaving it up to individual schools, which may not all be prepared to take on that responsibility, and that would give us some consistency and expertise. You know, my hope would be that we could pass this down to Ways and Means with the recommendation that they find the money to do it, and that would be my hope. Yes, Senator.
I just, my concern is how would OHA determine what it would cost in the regard that the economy is coming back and we put more money into schools, and schools will be looking at maybe making investments in their buildings. from delayed maintenance and stuff like that, how could they determine a fiscal not knowing the number of schools that would possibly fall into this category?
Well, I think that's part of the Ways and Means process.
We do it all the time. You know, LFO works with OHA and comes up with what they think is the best case scenario and worst case scenario. And sometimes it's a range. And we, generally speaking, take the worst case scenario. And this is how much it could cost in the worst case. We like to budget to that. We don't like to budget to, oh, things look great, it's going to be okay. We budget the worst case scenario, and that really helps us get through any tough stuff. And every bill we've got down there has those estimates in it, built into it.
Never been there, so I don't know.
Oh, it's a nice place to visit.
Yeah.
but you wouldn't want to stay.
No.
I found it's like Hotel California, you can't leave.
So, Mr. Chair, my question is, we are going to send the dash 4 down, but we are going to ask for these amendments down in your committee?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I will bring those back to you and make sure you all agree to them before we would move it out. I'll make that commitment to you. I'm assuming this would come to our Ways and Means Subcommittee. I can't imagine where they'd send it anywhere else. It's the Oregon Health Authority, so...
Are we going to make the change for the young lady that talked about line 19 on the early learning division? Is there something?
I don't believe so. Not at this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that needs clarification because that will be part of the cost.
Yes.
How broad is that? And so that will be clarified. We'll have to clarify it in order to get their estimate of the cost.
Yeah. Okay, well, Vice Chair, I'd love
a motion for the amendment. The amendment of the amendment.
Well, to move the amendment.
I know. Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash 4 amendments dated 2/12/14.
Okay, Vice Chair Olson has moved the dash 4 amendments to Senate Bill 1511. Dated 2/12/14. Any discussion? Yes, Senator.
Just had a quick question. Do we want to discuss what Senator Haas brought up about doing it with no recommendation? I'm not totally familiar exactly what that means.
Well, that'll be after. Let's get the amendment adopted, and then we'll have the motion to do the bill.
Okay.
Yeah. To dispose of the bill itself.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Any objection to our adopting the dash 4s? Okay, they are adopted. Now, Vice Chair Olson.
Well, the question now would arise is, are we going to send it with a do pass or a no recommendation?
I would prefer a do pass.
I'm agnostic on this one because it's coming to my committee and I'm going to work it either way, so...
Mark, do you have a Senator?
Well, in the Revenue Committee today, there was a bill that everyone in concept agreed to, but it wasn't in shipshape condition, according to the chair verdict. And so we sent it to Ways and Means without recommendation. It did need further work. I think we've seen that on this bill, that Section 5's unclear, and I do... want to clarify the early learning section that Reagan brought to us. So I feel like I don't want to, you know, I don't know that Ways and Means will exactly have this understanding of that section, of what my understanding is, to make certain that schools will not be paying for these tests, and we're not even certain it's going to go to Senator Bates' committee. So I would be more comfortable without a recommendation.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I concur with Senator Haas. I believe that we are sending a bill down that we are not quite comfortable with, and I think that to do that, to send it down as a do pass when we don't agree with it totally, would be a miscarriage of justice. So I would recommend that we send it down with no recommendation.
Miscarriage of justice seems a little strong.
They're true.
But I hear you. I hear you. And, you know... And again, obviously, if we were not in a short session, had another meeting, we'd get this resolved. But just, yes, and, you know, if that's the will of the committee, I'm certainly happy to go there.
Do we need a motion to that? I would make a motion that we send the bill, Senate Bill 1511, as amended, with no recommendation.
To.
You want me to keep reading?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1511 as amended to the floor with no recommendation, and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Okay. So Vice Chair Olson has moved Senate Bill 1511 as amended to the floor with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
You missed the no recommendation part.
With no recommendation, yes.
Without recommendation.
Is there any further discussion? And just to clarify, the sense of the committee, you know, as I understand it, is that we would like to see that the change in subsection 5, which clarifies that the Oregon Health Authority does the testing or oversees the testing, is responsible for the testing. Is that a fair statement?
And pays for the testing.
Well, yes, that's what it means.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Remember the end pays.
Well, see, the authority is mine, you know, and the K-12 budget is his.
Now I get the big picture. Way to go, Mark.
Okay. So with that understanding, hopefully it will go to you, Senator Bates, because
I will ask for it.
Yes.
I'll
and
ask for
you
it.
Understand what the committee is looking
yeah.
for. Okay, thank you. Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, Senate Bill 1511, as amended, will go to Ways and Means without recommendation. Thank you, Brett, very much for your help with this. Okay, with that, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 1511. And I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 1584.
So if I want to offer an amendment, I think we have to work the amendment first. Is that the correct protocol? Help me out here.
Yes. Beth, do you want to tell us where we are?
Yes. So, Mr. Chair, you have the dash one amendment in front of you, and you have a no revenue impact statement. And I have gotten word that they're currently in the process of working on that. They've got the information from ODA, so that's happening. And it was posted to OLS at 3:18 p.m., and it is now 4:05 p.m. And it's in your packets and in the back of the room as well.
Great.
So I think the rule is that you can discuss it, but without suspending rules, you need to wait until 4:18 to take action on it.
Okay. Well, let's see how long our discussion goes. Senator Bates,
yeah.
Did you?
Mr. Chair, we're not going to take action, but I'd like to discuss only the dash one amendments to it. I'll start by saying.
Actually, before you do, just to bring everybody up to speed again, this is the bill that has to do with the exotic animal restriction that would deal with individuals who did not meet the deadline to register their animal under the legislation that was passed in 2009. To, in effect, grant such people amnesty for a period of time so they could register their animals. Yes.
Thanks. Well, I've been trying all week to work this into the conversation, so I'll do the best I can here. I don't want to get catty about this, but I want to prove to you that there's more than one way to skin a cat. Seriously, I really have been thinking about this all week. And we're talking about opening up a very difficult area that we worked hard to close down. We wanted it opened up primarily for one gentleman. And I think we're all very sympathetic to what he's done and what he's gone through and that he needs this animal. I particularly was thankful to Senator Olson for the hard work he did putting this bill together for bringing it to us and his co-sponsors. But I also sympathetic to Senator Hass, who had worked just as hard on the previous bill to deal with the issue of exotic animals, and a humane society who knows there are still some animals out there that they would like to sort of bring out of the woodwork. But I also, in my own mind, thought if this was a bill that just was dealing with someone who had an exotic animal and no other conditions, it was just a pet, I doubt that I could find myself really voting for it. I might open up an amnesty issue for a month or something to bring those out of the woodwork if we could, if we knew where they were and say, we're going to open this up for a month and you can bring your animal in. But it was just a pet. I don't think I'd feel the way I do about it. This is not just a pet. You know, we're dealing with a vet who has PTSD. It's pretty clear that the animal he has helps him with that. That condition is one that is clearly recognized as a disability. It is clearly recognized by the Veterans Administration. It's probably the biggest disability to deal with. It goes back to Vietnam, World War II, and even World War I, where they had combat fatigue. So I don't think there's any question this gentleman suffers from a disability, and the physician would be willing to write a letter saying that he did and this was something helpful to him. In fact, I know one physician who would do it today for him. I haven't met him yet, but I'm sure I will.
Is he licensed in Clackamas County?
He is. He is licensed in Clackamas County. So I got to thinking about this and felt we should probably narrow this down to really help people in his position and narrow it down with the same language that's there already to an exotic animal that is also a companion animal that helps people with disabilities. That's a different situation to me, quite different, and really strikes home what we're trying to do here. And I think what Senator Olson is trying to do and everyone on that bill, they want to help somebody who clearly needs help. I don't think they feel quite so strongly if someone just missed a deadline on an exotic animal and whatnot. But what brought them to this was this plight of this gentleman who really needs this animal. And I'd like to go along with that, help that, but narrow it down to something we all could agree to and not have a floor fight and a lot of publicity and issues going on, which none of us feel comfortable with when we really want to get to this thing. And so I offered a very small amendment to the bill that will limit it just to companion animals, but still leave all the other language there. We didn't take any other piece out or change any other word in it. And I thought that might be a thoughtful way for us to get to something we can all agree to and still help this man who obviously we all want to help. And so that was my suggestion. I'm sorry it came so late. It's sort of a curse of a short session and having someone like me who's kind of a dunderhead, sometimes I can't quite get it through his head what's really going on and what I'm trying to get to. I wish I would have thought of this Tuesday and had a better chance to talk it over with you, but or last week. But it finally came to me what we're trying to do here. I'm also very sympathetic to the Humane Society and what they're trying to do. They've got an issue here also. They're pretty sure there's four or five or maybe more animals out there that are locked away that are exotic pets but not companion animals, and we still need to get to those too. And I'm committed to help them in 15. To maybe put an amnesty bill in for a very short time, maybe only a month, and get those animals taken care of also. So I understand your issue there, and I appreciate it. So that's about where we're at in this right now. I'm hoping that the committee will look with favor on this, and we can put the dash ones in and move forward with something. And I'm trying to stretch it to 418.
Well, as long as we can. I've got some things to say. Yeah.
The signal is this.
Yeah. Yeah. Slowly. So that's where I'm at, and I'm hoping it will bring us together in this committee and get a good piece of legislation out that's a little bit better.
Thank you, Senator. And just to clarify, in terms of what the Dash Ones do, I think you suggested this. I just want to clarify. This requirement of the person having a disability under the statute and the physician recommending this action, this is not in place of the other requirements in the base bill. This is on top of those requirements, right? So it still would have to be an animal that was owned at the time.
Yes.
And yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Senator Olson.
Absolutely. And I will get beyond the 418. In front of me, I have a legislator measure request, and Senator Bates is absolutely correct. When I first took this on, it was AR1 for the animal because I thought the animal would probably be put to sleep. And secondly, it was for the veteran. because he had PTSD, and this was a companion animal, and he'd had it for 16 years. So I got the ball rolling, and in front of me, as I said, I have a legislative measure request, that changed the scope of the law from where it was defined as a service monkey in the bill. We changed that to a service animal so that we could incorporate this animal in, just as the good doctor has done. As we talk about it, as Senator Roblin and I and Department of Ag and Fish and Wildlife met, and the veterinarian from Department of Ag, we pondered it, and we were concerned because it basically changed, in deference to Senator Hass, it changed the concept of the bill. It changed the law. So we talked about it. Do we want to change the law? Because a service animal defined by ADA is a service dog or a service horse. So we thought, well, now we're going to get into a gray area. Is this cat going to be really considered a service animal? Well, it can't be because it's not a service dog or a service horse. So what we said was, and what we came up with was, rather than change the good legislation that was written to have people come in and have their animals registered by the Department of Ag, we just said, let us open up that registration again so that those people that didn't have the opportunity, were not aware of the law. As I said in testimony, 919 new laws were written that year. It's 919 laws that most people don't know anything about until they bump into them. The point I'm getting to is the fact that what we said was, is the law is good. The law did what it was intended, but people missed the opportunity to register their animal. So we would prefer that those people had that opportunity so that Department of Agriculture could go out and look at the facility, see what care the animal was given, see how the owner took care of the animal, make sure the animal was fed, and now they have been listed. We now know who they are. Originally, when the bill passed, 54 people were registered. We felt that there was no more than 20 out there, and they figured probably 12 would come in that owned their exotic animals prior to 2010. We thought that that was the best way. It did not change the law. All it did was open it up for the rest of the people that didn't get their job done, didn't do their due diligence to come in and have the opportunity without violating a law. We felt that that was the smoothest, the easiest. And once again, in deference to Senator Hass and Senator Roblin, who carried the bill, Senator Boquist, who helped write the bill, it did not change the bill. It just said, if you missed your registration time, we'd like you to come in and register now. And we put a window on there originally of 6 months, but we felt that it was 6 months from the signing of the bill that got to be confusing. If the bill was signed on a Tuesday of this month, when is it? When do you have to meet it? So we put it to the end of the year. Everybody had adequate time. We were going to do notice to send out to every veterinarian. If you know of someone that has an exotic animal that comes to you for veterinary help, please inform them that they now have an opportunity to re-register the animal, so that they will not be outside the scope of the law, and they will come in and Department of Ag could determine the facilities, make sure that the animal is treated humanely. That was the whole purpose, to make sure that the animals were covered and treated humanely. Many people now, I assume, if they love their animal, like I love my dogs, they're going to take good care of them. There's no question about it. But sometimes, financially or whatever, something happens that they can't do it. At least ADA would now know, or not, I'm sorry, not ADA, Department of Ag would now know who they are, where they are, and what's going on. That's the premise of the law. In discussion and testimony, we talked about the fact that we shouldn't write a bill for one person. And this, in fact, does that. But I will tell you, I most likely will support this amendment because I wrote the bill to help this person and that cat. And that was my goal, is to help them. And I chatted with some people, and the folks said, well, do you want to fight the fight and say you won, or do you want to help that? That was my goal, is to help the cat. So I'm going to support the amendment to help the cat. But I do feel that the way we were going was a better way because there are other animals out there that can be protected, can be identified, had we done it the way the bill was written. And that was the goal, is to make sure everyone out there that had an exotic animal prior to 2010 had the opportunity once again to come in and license their animal. If your driver's license expires, you can go back in and get a license again. We don't stop you from doing that. So here's folks that missed their opportunity for whatever reason. Maybe they missed it because they wanted to miss it. Maybe they didn't know about it. But this time they would know about it, and we were hoping to sweep up the remnants of those that didn't get covered. But if it needs be to protect this cat and this gentleman, I will support the amendment.
I really appreciate that, Senator Olson. Thank you. I do have a question. I think what I appreciate about the amendment is, if there's one thing that everybody agrees with, is that we want to help this particular individual who embodies kind of a unique set of circumstances, I think. And I want to make sure that what we're proposing here does apply to him. Do we know that he would qualify as, that he has a disability as described, or a person in his situation has the kind of disability that would apply under that statute?
A concern of mine.
Mr. Chair and committee members, again, we haven't dug into this very deeply, but I did send that question to Legislative Council, and they replied that a disability can be a mental condition. The requirement is that it affect a major life activity as defined in the statute, and there's a long list of 30 activities, including concentrating, thinking, communicating, socializing, and interacting with others. But again, it is a lawyer and not a medical physician who's not aware of this person's thing, so he's assuming that one of these would be, but he's not a physician, nor is he in touch with this person.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Lori Freeman from Legislative Council said a person with post-traumatic stress disorder would qualify under this definition if the impairment was to such a degree that it substantially limited one or more of the listed major life activities.
So I don't think there's any question that PTSD is covered. The question is, we have in our material that he suffers from PTSD. Do we know for a fact that he's been diagnosed with that?
Yes, he has.
Senator Hess.
Well, thank you. This has been a bear of a problem, I know. And as you know earlier,
quit horsing around, would you?
I wouldn't be crying crocodile tears if this bill failed, but I do want to thank Senator Bates for, I think, correctly reframing this as more of something that's for treatment, companionship, rather than pet ownership, which was what started the whole problem to begin with. And I'm not surprised, given his background as a thoughtful family doctor and Vietnam vet, that this egged on him and he came up with this. So I do support the amendment, and I'll support the bill.
Senator Hensley.
I think the original bill is better public policy, so I will not support the amendment, but I'll support the bill.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I have been in communication with Representative Barton, who also, that this individual is a constituent of, and he appreciates the committee going this route. He's concerned about, I think he has exactly the same concern that you do, Senator Olson, about his constituent, and that, I think, again, sometimes we start bills with a certain focus, and then they expand, and we fall in love with that expanded version. But it makes sense sometimes to return to that original focus, and I think that's what the amendment does here. So,
Mr. Chair, may I make a comment? Then my legislative request from the people that were in discussion with us said that it was too narrowly defined and picked on one person. So we tried to tried to broaden it to make it look more it was a statewide goal. But like I said, I'm for this person and whatever it takes.
And there may be others out there we don't know about that have the same situation.
Absolutely.
We have an exotic animal who is a companion to them.
Right. Absolutely.
And that might bring them out.
However, if they had that exotic animal under the bill, they could still come
out. I understand.
Okay.
Yes.
Make that clear.
And as they still can if they have some sort of, you know, a medical need for a companion animal. Okay, can we have a motion?
Chair, I move the dash one.
I think we have received the financial impact on the amendment, and it shows a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Do we move the bill first and then?
Dash one.
Dash one's first.
Yeah. Senator Bates, would you like to make that motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 1584.
Okay, the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 1584 have been moved by Senator Bates. Is there any discussion? It being 421, is there any disagreement with the motion? Yes. Okay. Could you note that Senator Hansel is a no on this? Okay, the motion passes. Vice Chair Olson?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1584 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 1584 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? Okay, the motion passes. Senator Olson, would you like to carry this bill?
Please.
Yes. Okay, any further discussion for the good of the order, for the good of the week? Colleagues, we have our first bill already for Monday. It has to do with crabs, so stay tuned.
I did a crab bill last year.
Okay, with that, colleagues, we are adjourned. Okay, with that, colleagues, we are adjourned.